This is a special report from ABC News. Trump civil fraud judgment. I'm Daria Albinger. A New York judge has ordered Donald Trump to pay $354 million. The ruling in a civil fraud trial that accused the former president of overvaluing his assets. ABC's Jonathan Carl says Mr. Trump was a fixture at the proceedings where his image was on trial as much as he was.
He testified he would come out and give his daily press conferences. He was using the courtroom as a way to be part of his campaign. But look what the judge said about Trump's testimony in this case. Overall, Donald Trump rarely responded to the questions asked, and he frequently interjected long, irrelevant speeches on issues far beyond the scope of the trial. His refusal to answer the questions directly, or in some cases at all, severely compromised his credibility.
This is ABC News.
Battleground. Purple. Swing state. You've heard the terms, but what connects it to elections? Wisconsin has been a swing state off and on since the 1950s, but recent elections solidified it when the state could have been won by either the Democratic or Republican candidate. Michigan and Minnesota, Arizona, Florida, Georgia, Nevada, North Carolina, Ohio, and Pennsylvania, also swing states. Watch for more campaigns to target Wisconsin and these other states before the next election. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
State Assembly yesterday passed a package of bills that came out of the Speaker's task force on the problem. Republican Representative Rick Gundrum.
One of the reasons sex trafficking is thriving here in Wisconsin is because our current penalties are often less than the cost of the actual solicitation.
The task force was formed after the human rights group Shared Hope International gave Wisconsin a failing grade for its anti-trafficking laws. A new push to legalize medical marijuana in Wisconsin is going nowhere this year. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss tells reporters a Republican bill will not be taken up this session. Republicans disagree among themselves over whether the state should run medical marijuana dispensaries. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. In addition to the $10 million in federal funding to replace the air traffic control tower at the Duluth International Airport, officials also announced that Two Harbors Helgeson Municipal Airport would receive federal funding. The airport will receive just over $1.1 million to construct a new terminal, replacing the existing terminal, which is just 640 square feet. The terminal was constructed in 1976 and has not been updated in over 40 years. Funding for the project will also be provided through the Airport Terminal Program. The Duluth International Airport will replace its current air traffic control tower thanks to federal funding from the Airport Terminal Program. Senator Amy Klobuchar and Representative Pete Stauber announced the airport will receive $10 million to replace the control tower that was originally built in the 1950s. The total cost of the tower replacement is about $66 million, and the Airport Authority and City of Duluth have requested an additional $14 million for the project from the state of Minnesota. And that's what you need to know. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
Hi, my name is Maggie Dawn. You may have already heard that my 6 p.m. show is moving to 2 to 4 p.m. on the Civic Media Network.
And I'm Todd Albaugh, still taking care of middays from noon till 2.
Todd, what are you doing?
And I'm Dom, and Crudy and I are still kicking it from 4 to 6 p.m. across the Civic Media Network.
Dom, this is supposed to be about my show. I don't see why any of you guys...
We just want to be sure folks know precisely where to find you.
Right before the greatest radio show ever.
Until now, Crute.
Maggie Dawn, coming to your local station on the Civic Media Network.
2 to 4 p.m.
Right after me.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Brewers spring training underway. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers opened up spring training with about a dozen pitchers working out with catchers. A lot of new faces, but one to keep an eye on is Jacob Mizorowski out of Missouri. They call him the Miz. His fastball has been clocked at 103 miles per hour. Mizorowski pitched last summer for the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers before being called up by Carolina. He turns 22 in April. NBA. Despite numerous injuries and missing three starters, the Memphis Grizzlies sent the Bucks into the All-Star break with a 113-110 loss. Giannis had 35 points, but after the game, Doc Rivers said the Bucks' fundamentals are just off on defense.
We're playing decent defense until 5 seconds on the clock, and the guy with the ball puts the ball on the floor and drives it. Straight line. Our body positions were terrible. If a guy's quicker than you or you're quicker than him, if you're not square on the ball, you're going to get beat in this league. We got to be able to guard the ball. We got to be able to keep the ball under control.
That's Doc Rivers with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, a low near 8 above. More sunshine than clouds for the afternoon Saturday, but breezy. Highs in the low 30s. On Sunday, a little warmer, more sun in mid-30s. Early next week, starting off dry with temperatures jumping back up into the 40s. Right now, we're at 11.
Hi, my name is Maggie Dawn. You may have already heard that my 6 p.m. show is moving to 2 to 4 p.m. on the Civic Media Network.
And I'm Todd Allbaugh, still taking care of middays from noon till 2.
Todd, what are you doing?
And I'm Dom, and Crudy and I are still kicking it from 4 to 6 p.m. across the Civic Media Network.
Dom, this is supposed to be about my show. I don't see why any of you guys...
We just want to be sure folks know precisely where to find you.
Right before the greatest radio show ever.
Until now, Crut.
Maggie Dawn, coming to your local station on the Civic Media Network.
2 to 4 p.m.
Right after me.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Like smelt fries and music on the river, we're uniquely Amory. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Yep.
10 seconds.
Okay, cool. 10 seconds.
Educators Amplify talk about, you know, how we treat students. And then also Rodney talked.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Welcome, Friday night, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education, TGIBP. Thank you. God, it's Busted Pencils. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. People tuning in going, Busted Pencils on Friday. Yep, that's the way it is every week now. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Busted Pencils, 6 o'clock in Wisconsin. Anytime you happen to be listening on the live stream coming out of the Civic Media app, Johnny, you've been talking about this for people, you know, if they happen to be in Iceland, if they happen to be in New Zealand, they got the Civic Media app, you know, anywhere, and they could be listening.
The internet, you can get Busted Pencils. Let's go.
You can get, you can go. Just download that app, you know, go to the App Store for Apple, go to Google Play, download Civic Media app. Here's the best thing, Johnny, costs you nothing.
Yeah,
not
right.
A thing. All you got to do is use your fingers there, download that Civic Media app, and you can always be following Busted Pencils and all of the other great shows and news that comes on Civic Media all of the time. You can bring it with you everywhere you go. Johnny, Friday, man. What a week, huh?
What a week. Yeah. It's been a great week of guests, awesome callers. And like most weeks, Tim, not a week short of wild stuff happening out in schools. A lot of patterns of the past kind of to recap and discuss, but really fun guests this week. Educators Amplify, we have them every Wednesday. Wednesday was a great show. We had Rodney, our guy in North Carolina last night. It was a really awesome show getting to hear. He is one of our favorite things, Tim, or at least my favorite thing, and I know you're a fan too.
Absolutely.
Teachers out there, you are in the center of community. You have young people who look up to you, who are influenced by you, who are in conversation with you daily, who see you as citizens in your community. And so, teachers, you also have a front row view of the kinds of ways that children succeed when their needs are being met. Teacher Joanna and Teacher Hallie talk about that with us on Wednesdays. But, Rodney was seeing that children in his community's needs are not being met. Also, teachers are underfunded and schools are underfunded. And so one of my favorite things, Tim, you know, I love it when teachers say enough, but they don't step away. They don't quit. Right. We know that it gets to be at a point where sometimes lots of teachers are burnt out and they have to find something else to do for their own health, their own sanity. But Rodney's special, and there are a lot of other teachers like Rodney out there who they say, I need to do something more. Mm-hmm. And Rodney is running for office, and I mean that in a democracy is a beautiful thing. A teacher who says I've about had it with these kids not being served with opportunities that they ought to have, basic human rights stuff,
exactly,
right? Healthcare, food, shelter. these kinds of things that are essential to any living being, right? But especially our children and our communities. And so Rodney says, guess what? I'm going to go for it. And it was inspiring because one of my favorite things from the show last night, Tim, is when we're talking to Rodney, and he, of course, he has a great platform. You can all check it out and expect that from candidates running locally in your districts. They have a great platform that centers human rights, right? That centers accessible and affordable health care, that centers healthy food options for kids, that centers, housing. Wherever you are in this country, housing, we are at a housing crisis. We're in a real economic moment where most classrooms, we talk about school, most classrooms have children in those classrooms who do not have safe, stable places to live, right? Right. They're houseless in a sense. They qualify as houseless. And this is not only a dangerous thing for their futures, but for all of our futures. Exactly. So Rodney's doing something about it. It was awesome, but most inspiring, Tim. I loved hearing him say that he gets the opportunity to have young people he teach see him run for public office. And that they walk into the classroom and they say, you know, we saw your billboard or we saw your signs or we heard someone came to our door. I mean, this as social studies teachers, Tim,
this is
like the dream, right? We're saying these kids are learning about civics in real time, looking face to face. And Rodney said it. He said, you know what? If anything, I want the children in my community to see that someone like me, someone like Rod, a man in his community, a man of good word, who's an advocate for children, who day in and day out shows up, not just to teach, but to help prepare them to be grown folks in their community. He cares and he delivers. They see that that's also something that ought to be part of politics. And boom. So if they see Rodney do it, then they can do it. I'm inspired by it, man. I mean, how do we sign more teachers up to run for office?
Not how do we sign more up. If you're listening, get out there, man. We are encouraging you. In fact, get your campaign. Bring it right to Busted Pencils teachers out there. Parents, too. Students, if you want to get involved. I mean, check it out. If you are inspired by Rodney Pierce, North Carolina, running for state legislature. Or here's the other thing. Any of you out there, and we don't know about you, and you're running for school board, you're running for town clerk, call in, let us know so we can put you out there so that people can be inspired. Most importantly, students out there. So yeah, Johnny, you know, and all the way back to the beginning of the week, Daniel Ford, mom, who said, you know what? I'm running for school board. You know, and there she is. She does it. So here we are every night of the week, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, talking about, you know, people are like a talk show about school. Yeah, man, it's truly the talk show about democracy, because without a public education committed to your local communities, there is no democracy. Democracy rests on top of the foundation of a public school. And if you want to join in, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. A little bit of roundup, Johnny. On Fridays, I thought we'd try this, you know, see how it goes, see how people are going. A little bit of education news roundup here. I'm just going to start with some of the headlines here, and we'll get into them. But, Johnny, just today, headlines. Well, number one, Florida, and this is cut directly from Florida students seize on parental rights to stop educators from hitting kids. Another headline, nearly two-thirds of teachers steer clear of charged topics. And one of our favorite times, deep fakes heighten the need for media literacy in the age of AI. That's artificial intelligence. There are your headlines, Florida students. Johnny, I got to jump right into this article because
it's talk worthy, Tim. I mean,
it's talk worthy. Yeah. So, you know, check out the 74. This comes from 74.com or 74million.org. I should put that out there. 74million.org. Main headline here, talking about Florida. But I'm just jump right into the piece. Quote, inside a Florida high school principal's office, Brooklyn Daniels found herself alone with two men and a wooden paddle that was thick like a chapter book. In about a third of Florida school districts and concentrated in the rural panhandle enclaves like Daniels Liberty County, corporal punishment as a form of student discipline remains ingrained in the culture. It's why on this morning in early December, school leaders instructed the 18-year-old to bend over a desk. What came next? A paddling that left deep purple bruises and welts for a minor school offense. Johnny, people, so you guys are sensationalizing this kind of like unique or special. No, 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 we're not. We're bringing this to your attention because somebody's out there going like, man, they did. They got rid of that back when my days, they didn't even let us. No, 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 no. This is today. The date on this was this student, this high school student, this high school girl was paddled in December this past year, 2023. Paddled. When you hear and you read through this story, the part of it that's, it almost sounds like, should we even be reading this story? You know, there's innuendo that kind of comes across this. It's disturbing, incredibly disturbing. But the reality here is that this is going on. Corporal punishment, students being paddled. And so I'm thinking back to my days, you know, in the 70s, man, I remember my buddy Jackie. Every third week or so, Jackie come back from the principal's office with his legs a-bouncing and tears coming down from his eyes. Because guess what? He had met with Mr. Lopez. And we know what happened in Mr. Lopez's office. Jackie got that paddle. You know what happened the following year? Jackie got paddled again. You know what happened the following year? He got paddled again. You know what happened when Jackie became an adult? Well, he's in prison for killing someone.
Well,
that's harsh. I did a sensationalism there. I admit it.
I think the bigger point here that you're bringing up and that this story brings to the forefront, and there's a lot more to this story. I'm not saying that there's like sides to it, because at the bottom line for me, and I think for probably most educators, I would hope all educators, and that I'm going to get to it. That includes, the U.S. Secretary of Education, but that medical professionals, pediatricians, psychologists out there, human development experts, what we know is that corporal punishment, most commonly known as spanking or hitting, right? Mm-hmm. Like this kind of punishment is extreme disciplinary practice and is absolutely not effective, and it's dangerous. It's not only dangerous because it can cause physical harm, but it causes long-term types of harm. Tim, like you brought up in kind of an anecdotal, slightly sensational, but real.
But an absolutely true story. Everybody, this is a true story.
But for listeners, we're going to come back to this. We're really going to break down, what do we mean by how in the world is corporal punishment still allowed in a handful of states and happening in schools?
How's it happening in schools? And John, as you point out, there is just no research out there that says physical pain inflicted to change behavior, it doesn't work. It doesn't do anything towards that makes students behave. The damage is there. Florida students seize on parental rights, and that's what we're going to hit, though, John, because students in Florida actually grab a hold of some new legislation, and they're coming after corporal punishment. Busted pencils, hey. Put your paddle away and join us when we get back.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Thanks for listening to this Civic Media station. You're one of thousands of people tuned in right now, whether on the radio, the app, the podcast, or stream. Audio is the number one source of information and entertainment among adults in the U.S. If you own a business or you're in charge of growing a business, this is a key fact, and you should know how it can work for you. That's where we come in. At Civic Media, our local radio stations influence local people, the same people who shop and buy at your place. Now we also reach those same customers wherever they are, in the digital world as well, From podcasts to streaming to apps, laptops, and smartphones, our digital advertising capabilities ensure that we deliver the right message to the right people at the right time. And with our state-of-the-art measurement systems, we can prove it. Schedule a short meeting to learn how we can partner locally to help your business thrive. Go to civicmedia.us. Click on sponsorship. You'll hear back within 24 hours. When it comes to advertising, the landscape gets more and more confusing.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Hey, this is Tim from Rise Against here on Busted Pencils Radio.
It kills me not to know this, but I've all but just forgotten what the color of her eyes were and her scars or how she got them.
Ah, man, we do not want to hear about people getting scars. Busted pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. The number 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Looking at the headlines in education news and just jumping right on this one. Florida students seize on parental rights to stop educators from hitting kids. This is in the 74million.org article that just came out yesterday. High school student in Florida paddled. Corporal punishment. When we're talking about corporal punishment, anybody's going, you mean like when the principal used to walk around with the wooden paddle and hit people on the behind? Yes, that's exactly what we're talking about. Anybody's like, well, they don't do that anymore. Yeah, they do. In fact, Johnny, there's some statistics out there you're talking about saying, 16 states now, it's still legal. And Florida is one of those states where it is legal to use physical pain in an effort to remediate negative discipline. So the idea here is that a good smack and that'll get them back on track and the behavior stops. Problem, yep. Johnny, you pointed out here is going, sorry, there's not any research that says that it corrects behavior. And there's a lot of research that says it actually creates even worse behavior.
Yeah, that's really where we're at. And this is a bigger cultural issue, Tim, and we can get into it. We've talked about it this week about how important it is to recognize and understand children's rights and to think about, especially as educators, to think about the importance of discipline as separate from unjust punishment. Unjust punishment is just like, you know, oftentimes, you know, cruel responses to a need for discipline. And structure and discipline is really important, but there are all kinds of ways that we can do this in our schools and in our communities and in our homes. And that's where I'm going to branch out to. Like, we talk about education, but it's, you know, we focus often on schools and classrooms, but this is a larger cultural issue because we're talking about corporal punishment here. We're calling it corporal punishment, but this is most commonly understood in communities as spanking. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about it in some fun, kinky way. I'm talking about it in a really serious way where we use often anger and violence to correct a behavior or in hopes that it corrects a behavior because it's somehow rationalized as an appropriate consequence to children being children oftentimes. I'm not saying children aren't doing bad stuff or that they aren't doing things that need discipline, but there are far more effective ways and less damaging ways than striking somebody, right, and using physical force. And this is a larger cultural problem. We see it. I'm not going to get into it today and on this show, but we see it in our police force, extreme force. We see it all the time in discussions around parenting. I mean, most states still allow quote unquote spanking as a form of disciplinary action for parents. And this is a larger discussion. I mean, psychologists and human development experts and pediatricians, you know, have consensus on that this is not good practice. And I'm not picking on folks because it's not the alternate practices aren't easy, right? So, but I'll bring it back to schools. We often think, okay, well, we're working on this as a culture. We're working on better educating parents and working together to figure out how can we discipline children without using, we call it corporal punishment in the in the legal system, right? But without spanking, without hitting, without using, put downs or sarcasm, doing damaging things that psychiatrists, human development experts, pediatricians agree with overwhelming consensus, right? And have alternatives. So we flash forward into schools. And, you know, Tim, really, we talked about you listed that there are states where this is not banned. But if we looked at the numbers and the policies, about 23 states really don't do much to prohibit this.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of like teeth or checking on this. In fact, that means close to kind of half the states. Half. We just sort of hope it's not happening because it's common sense that it shouldn't be going on. Well, then we have states where they absolutely do nothing to stop this. And in fact, that leaves it on the table, because I'm not going to say that in Florida, every school kids are being hit, right? We know
exactly,
that. And
so, right.
But one case is enough to say if this was banned, and I'm not a big fan of banning, but if this was prohibited, right, then it wouldn't be happening. Or, you know, at least people doing it would have to think twice, because I think it's a really sick person who hits a young person, right, as a form of discipline, especially in the case that you brought up in the news today from Florida. So that, I'm not saying that would necessarily prevent that issue, but it puts a layer, a stopgap in there that, like, it is very clearly illegal. Right now, we're in this gray area of, well, like, they might not have done anything wrong according to the law. And this is something I bet a lot of our listeners don't realize. Like, most states, including, I think, Wisconsin's in there. I know Michigan was one of them. Most states, corporal punishment was legal in schools until 1989.
Yeah.
That's fairly recent.
That's what I said. People can remember when. You say, you know, I remember when. And well, guess what? It wasn't that far. It wasn't that in that past. But, you know, Johnny, here's the best thing. You know, I want to take a twist on this story here, moving down further, though. And so, quote, however, prompted by the advocacy of two Florida college students, there is now pending legislation in the state where roughly a third of districts use corporal punishment to discipline kids that would require educators to get permission from parents each year before spanking their children. In other words, Johnny, going back to DeSantis's proclamation that, my goodness, in Florida, we have a parental rights issue here, and it's the parental rights that outweigh everything. Well, check it out. Some Florida smart college students, you know, probably paying attention in their civics class, learning how to do this, said, well, then if we're a parental rights state, how is it possible then that any child can be hit without parents' permission, without parents advocating? And so moving this straight up to this and saying, fine, if we're a parents' rights state, well then, hey, at a minimum, let's start with saying, anytime you're going to hit a child, you must get express parent consent, parents' rights, for that to happen. Now, I'm not advocating saying that's the solution. I just think right here, though, going, taking where we've gone, you know, we're all worried about woke wimps out there creating all kind of cultural kind of decay. Well, you guys put the law in place in Florida for parental rights. And guess what? We're going to use those things right now. We're going to come back. We're going to bring parental rights forward, because guess what? Here's the other thing. While 16 or more states like that allow it, when you actually ask the population out there, do you as a parent favor physical punishments for your children? The vast majority of parents say no, they do not. They do not. And so there you go, parents. You have rights out there. If your child, corporal punishment, number 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Hey, if you want to challenge us, though, give us a call, man. Bring your paddle. Give us a call.
Tune into the Earl Ingram Show Monday and Tuesday at 8 a.m. for special guest host Stu Daniels. I'm Earl Ingram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin is taking the first step toward enshrining limits on diversity, equity, and inclusion in the state constitution. A proposed constitutional amendment passed the state assembly yesterday. The next step would have to be to pass the Senate this year, but the upper house is only in session for a few more days. Wisconsin is moving closer to regulating artificial intelligence. One bill that passed the assembly yesterday would study how AI could help address the worker shortage in state government. Republican Representative Nate Gustafson.
We want to take AI and then ultimately say, do we really need to find the additional bodies to fill the roles, or can we continue to leverage AI to its fullest capabilities?
Another bill would impose a $1,000 fine on the makers of political advertisements who use deepfakes without disclaimers. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation has announced it will be sending out EV hybrid stickers soon. Under a new law, current owners of electric and hybrid vehicles are required to put the EV stickers on their license plate to identify the car as electric or hybrid. The goal is to make it easier for first responders to identify if they're handling an electric vehicle in emergencies. Electric or hybrid car owners should receive their stickers by June, and all future electric or hybrid cars will also be required to get the sticker. The city of Duluth has approved the use of tax incremental financing for a proposed $500 million housing development. With an 8-to-1 vote by the city council, the developers of the project in the old Central High School area will be able to offset some of the costs of construction with reimbursement from property taxes. The development is expected to include condos, apartments, and retail space, and the first phase of construction could start as early as this summer. The project requires major infrastructure upgrades. And that's what you need to know. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
Hi, my name is Maggie Dawn. You may have already heard that my 6 p.m. show is moving to 2 to 4 p.m. on the Civic Media Network.
And I'm Todd Lobo, still taking care of middays from noon till 2.
Todd, what are you doing?
I'm Dom, and Crudy and I are still kicking it from 4 to 6 p.m. across the Civic Media Network.
Dom, this is supposed to be about my show. I don't see why any of you guys...
We just want to be sure folks know precisely where to find you.
Right before the greatest radio show ever.
Until now,
Crute.
Maggie Dawn, coming to your local station on the Civic Media Network.
2 to 4 p.m.
Right after me.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Netflix has proven to be very successful picking around the scrap heap of other networks. People Magazine reports that the network's latest effort is the Tina Fey-produced Girls 5 Eva. The show originally ran on Peacock but was canceled after 2 seasons despite glowing reviews and a 96% on Rotten Tomatoes. This season's trailer promises the biggest comeback, well, Eva. I can't pull that off. The 6-episode 3rd season of Girls 5 Eva drops March 14th on Netflix. There are some achy breaky hearts in the Cyrus family. The New York Post reports that Billy Ray Cyrus has reached out several times to his pop icon daughter Miley to make amends. Miley's snub of her father during her acceptance speech at the 2024 Grammys did not go unnoticed. Friends close to the family say the Cyrus kids have chosen sides since their parents' divorce, with Miley aligning with her mother, Tish. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, every night between 7 and 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, a low near 8 above. More sunshine than clouds for the afternoon Saturday, but breezy. Highs in the low 30s. On Sunday, a little warmer, more sun in mid-30s. Early next week, starting off dry with temperatures jumping back up into the 40s. Currently, it's 10 above.
Hi, my name is Maggie Dawn. You may have already heard that my 6 p.m. show is moving to 2 to 4 p.m. on the Civic Media Network.
And I'm Todd Lobo, still taking care of middays from noon till 2.
Todd, what are you doing?
And I'm Dom, and Crudy and I are still kicking it from 4 to 6 p.m. across the Civic Media Network.
Dom, this is supposed to be about my show. I don't see why any of you guys...
We just want to be sure folks know precisely where to find you.
Right before the greatest radio show ever.
Until now,
Crute.
Maggie Dawn, coming to your local station on the Civic Media Network.
2 to 4 p.m.
Right after me.
Oh, for crying out loud.
In touch with the City of Lakes. In touch with you. This is Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
This is Matt Damon on Busted Pencils Radio. Please stop bothering me and just ask my mom already.
Yes, Nate. Producer Nate, bringing it. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. The number 844-967-2789. Educated educators talking education. Yes, that was Matt Damon talking about, you know what? Stop bothering him. Ask his mom. Hey, just previewing. Yeah, Matt Damon's mom will be on Busted Pencils in the near future. And so when she's on, call us. Don't call Matt, man, because Matt does not like it when you call him and ask him questions about education. However, you can call Matt's mom, Dr. Nancy Carlson Page. Looking forward to when she comes and jumps on the show. However, talking about corporal punishment, what's happening in Florida, and we got a caller, Joanne. Joanne from Madison. Joanne, give us some knowledge, man.
Hey, I would think that a technological solution should come in. Whatever happens in those rooms with the paddles and all that should be taped, should be recorded.
Mm. Yeah.
And so then if there'd be any type of damage to the individual, psychological damage or physical damage, of course, the legal people would be involved. And I think that would scare the bejeebers out of everybody involved. I think that would be the end of the practice in a year or so. Just body cam type of thing. Have those instances taped. It would show whether or not the people involved are perverted in some senses. And enjoy it way too much, or whether or not it is conducted in a way that's humane. But it also, in case of any type of damage, would provide the people involved, the people who were damaged, some recourse. Say, there was damage to ovaries or something like that. God knows what's involved. But the whole thing is really freaking me out, and I never believed that would be the case. I'm gonna do research all night. You got me started now.
Joanne, we're sorry. We ruined your Friday night.
But Joanne is right, because this is something. It's often. I mean, I have to teach about this, fortunately and unfortunately. And when I'm working with educators, especially young people, they can't even fathom that this would be a reality. And that's one to say, in most schools, this is not happening.
Right.
Right. But two, it's to say that it's like one of those antiquated law things that stubbornly we still have in place that leaves an opening for this kind of stuff to still be happening. And I keep coming back to it. I think it's cultural. I think it's because we still lean heavily on spanking or hitting as a form of disciplinary action with young people in families and in communities. And that's not me even saying like I'm better than everybody and it didn't happen in my family or these things. It's something that we all struggle with, and that when we know better, we ought to be able to do better. And that takes time to do. Until we commit to that, I think laws have to change, because there should be no instance where a young person, especially if they're 18, but I can't even imagine like this happening to smaller and younger children. And we know that it does.
Well, you say from the article from 74million.org, actually on this Florida, they highlight a 2021 case actually where a 6-year-old was paddled. And from Joe, and this is the weird thing, Joanne, it wasn't, but it was caught on video there. And here's though, even with this, because the law says it's legal, being on video had no bearing on whether any discipline was handed out to the perpetrators there. I do agree with Joanne, though. I mean, I think you start doing these things and saying, okay, fine, paddling's legal, and so is the videoing of the process. We need to see how it happened. Because Brooklyn Daniels, the student in Florida who talked about this, she actually she's making accusations here. What Joanne was saying, not only was it physical abuse, but she felt it was sexual abuse, because taking this in, two men took an 18-year-old girl behind closed doors and told her to bend over, and they hit her with a wooden paddle on her behind. We're talking about this, people go like, that sounds naughty. Yeah, it does. And it should.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. I mean,
yeah, it should bother you from so many. Yeah, you should be bothered by this in so many different ways. You know, that is just, it's a frightening situation. John, think about this. So, you know, we'll talk more about this because I like what you said, the consensus. And I want to, you know, we'll come back and go, consensus. Yeah, experts say this is not a good thing. we're going to bring some experts on the show to kind of talk about this and bring out there and say, like, what are the implications? What do the experts say about physical pain as a disciplinary technique? And we're going to say the consensus is out there. Johnny, there are lots of other news stories out there. And one of them, though, too, this is actually from K-12 Dive. Deep fakes. Okay, just put that there. If you're deep fakes heighten the need for media literacy in the age of AI. That's artificial intelligence. And from the article, fears of the technology being used to create fake nude images of students or to stir up public misinformation are already a reality. What can schools do now? Man, not saying, hey, this technology is progressing to the point where we might have this problem. The technology, artificial intelligence, is already there, producing what they call a deep fake. And people are saying, well, what's a deep fake?
What a deep fake is, Tim.
A deep fake. So I have a colleague who has been actually teaching his AI to learn. He takes videos of him. He takes audio recordings of himself, feeds it into the artificial intelligence, and then tells the artificial intelligence to create a video with audio of him speaking. The problem is that the video and the audio never really happened. It's truly a deep fake. But when you watch the video come back, it looks exactly like, and I was saying, Johnny, I thought you were against corporal punishment because last night, man, I saw you on Facebook proclaiming how virtuous paddling is. You're like, yo, Tim, I didn't do that. Well, then, Johnny, maybe you got deep faked, man.
Yeah, this is scary. I mean, deep fake is like a fast and more advanced version of Photoshop, right?
Yeah.
Because like you used to be able to like do really good fancy work on a computer where you could kind of plop somebody's image and likeness onto a setting and you could detect that kind of by seeing blur and all kinds of different things. And technology got better at doing this with images. And so now here we have video and audio almost seamless, right? Put words into AI generated versions of real existing people.
Exactly. Right?
There's also the creation of not real people going on in this too. And so this just turns the whole thing around misinformation and misrepresentation and what's real and what's not on its head. I mean, we were talking about with producer Nate in one of the breaks, you know, we've talked a lot about, okay, AI, is it a learning tool? Yes, it's here to stay. What's the capacities? How do we learn to work with it? How is it part of learning, right? What are its limitations? And then this, Tim, you're telling me about, I mean, I knew this exists. I didn't really think about it all that much when we were discussing AI, but it is part of AI and machine learning, and boom, here we are. Wow, how scary, right? I had heard that, you know, there were rules, kind of laws being put rather quickly into place that prohibit the use of, they don't call it deep fake, but, you know, like not real, like AI generated people in campaign ads. So you
this is a huge deal coming into this election year now, because the ability now to use deep fakes to, you know, from a political standpoint, I can create a political ad of my political opponent, put it out there and have them, you know, at some kind of rally saying something that they never said, being at a rally they were never at, put that out there. And, you know, 5 minutes, it's already in. And just that it hits the airways and people say, pull that down. It's fake. It's too late. It's too late. It's out there. And yeah, we're seeing some legislation trying to catch up with this at this point because we're worried. It's just like, man, how can we have, you know, free and fair elections if the God forbid, you know, the propaganda that's already there, you got politicians already spinning the truth any way they can possibly. But now the reality of absolutely deep fakes out there saying, now the remedy, I think about here, though, back to teaching and learning, Johnny, how do we teach then? They call it media literacy. And people are going, what do you mean media literacy? Well, depending on your age, do you remember when they taught you to look at commercials and see if, you know, some famous person was endorsing the food that you want? And they taught you, you know, like, hey, be aware. That's a form of, you know, being aware of that media, when you see superstars telling you to buy something, it's more of an advertising propaganda. Media literacy. Okay, Johnny, media literacy in the age of deep fakes. Man, I don't even know what that, what does that look like?
Yeah, I doing some digging as you brought this up, I immediately started thinking, like, how do you safeguard beyond not make sure images and video and audio of yourself isn't out there? I mean, that's possible for a lot of folks who are like, well, I hope nobody deep fakes me. But what if you're, say, maybe in some kind of like celebrity status, or what if you're also a teacher? Right. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're doing online teaching. Maybe you have recordings of all kinds of different things as part of your job. It's kind of scary because this technology works in real time. And it could be, I mean, I just have to hope also, I like to try and think about like the sky is not falling. There's probably going to be, also technology that detects.
That is one of the things they're trying to say is like, do we have deep fake technology to detect it? My read right now is we're a little bit frightened by the fact that the ability to detect it is way far behind the ability to create it.
I think that's likely and not as fast.
Right.
Right. So it's already out there. Once it's already out there, it's already doing the work it's doing, and to detect it, then you got to go back and, you know, say, oh, this was actually a deep fake. This is not so-and-so saying this. Now, this is kind of scary. Wow, man, what a... I mean,
the video runs, fake video of somebody saying something that didn't happen, and it gets out on the airways, like you say, a political campaign. And even, a half hour later, going, oh, my God, we just found out that was a deep fake. Let's go out and tell everybody. It's too late. It's too late to apologize for a deep fake. We can't get to apologizing for a deep fake. We have to stop deep fakes from going out there. But, now, we're coming back to school.
The flip side of this, Tim, is like we're also a little older and in that generation that's sort of like, whoa, this is crazy. I mean, again, my optimism is like young people right now are like more quick to question. They're like, hold on, I just seen this guy saying X, Y, and Z. Let me see if this is real or not. Like that's becoming a more commonplace part of their everyday life.
I was wondering about that, though, too, when you say about media literacy here. So we teach this, and I think the first thing people think about is, so we need to teach students to have a little bit of a critical, semi-skeptical way of looking at media, right? Well, I'm concerned, though, now, too, that happens here in the realm of deep fakes, that skepticism becomes the reality of going, nothing's real anymore. I can't trust anything. That's not skepticism. And so you start worrying about, I'm just putting it out there, going, if we start to teach skepticism, do we
Tim, or is it like, is it questioning? Because those are skepticism sort of to me seems like an exaggerated or like extreme case, where if misinformation or things like deep fake are easily, out there, is there a generation of young people who they see something like this and they're like, before I take this for word, I want to look it up and do some fact checking around it?
I don't know, man. Fact checking or go around it, I have to say, just a little, a little concerning. It's Busted Pencils. It's Fully Leaded Education Talk on Friday's TGIBP. Thank God it's Busted Pencils. The number 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Oh man, Florida students being hit by a paddle, deep fakes, AI. One more news story when we get back to you, Johnny. All of this push for anti-wokeness. Hey, guess what? Teachers are afraid to talk anymore. Busted Pencils when we get back.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show.
Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
You cannot talk about Black history without including some of the early music and art which flourished in the 1920s and 30s, time now called the Harlem Renaissance. But this new Black cultural identity was growing everywhere. Trumpet player Louis Armstrong moved to Chicago. Painter Henry Tanner was accepted into the Academy of Design. Musician Robert Johnson recorded the Delta Blues in Texas. Listen for another Black History story right here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
We are Busting Pencils!
You can't feel the heat until you hold your hand.
It's Busted Pencils. You always feel the heat when you're with us. Educated educators talking education. Fully leaded education talk. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You know, thank goodness it's Friday and it's Busted Pencils going over some of the top education news stories. Started off with looking at, you know, corporal punishment. Yes, it's still going on in 16 states. And as Johnny points out, actually, there are lots of other states where the law is so ambiguous, it may as well still be legal. So more than potentially half of the states in America, you are still allowed or in some way, shape or form to be hit with, in this case, in Florida, a wooden paddle. Then, my goodness, moving forward, though, deep fakes. We're talking about artificial intelligence, man, coming up, ruining the day. You know, man, somebody says, Tim, Dr. Tim, I saw you last night on Twitter Live, and you were saying things that there's nothing I've ever heard you say on Busted Pencils. I'm like, I wasn't on Twitter Live last night. Well, there was a guy who looked just like you and had the same voice, and they were spouting off about how awesome corporal punishment is. Like, man, you were deep faked.
Well, I mean, I think this is gonna be an interesting shift in things, because also people could just say, oh, I didn't really say that. That was artificially, you know, created. Like, I didn't say this other, like, extremely sexist or racist thing. That was deep fake. I mean, yeah, like, this is where, I mean, I'm being really honest here. I'm going to learn more about this so I can better speak about it. But to me, it seems like there's going to have to be some way to detect whether something is really you or not. And it should be relatively easy to do. I mean, not, like you said, it doesn't change the fact that it's out there. But no. I also think this generation, and I brought that up in sort of an optimistic way, doesn't take anything at face value. Like, they're not saying, oh, that came from, you know, my phone. It must be true. And we used to say this a long time ago about the internet. We'd be like, just because it's on the internet, don't believe it. Right. I mean, it's sort of like, well, just because it came across on a YouTube video or it's, you know, on Facebook Live like we are. You know, right. We're not deep faked here.
I was gonna say, make sure everybody, if you're watching Busted Pencils on the live stream right now, whether it's on Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, this is really me and Johnny.
But I bet we could machine learn a Busted Pencils episode and have this kind of thing happen that might be believable, right? It'd probably be a less than a job not as well done as we are.
I was gonna say they might be better than us, though.
Well, that's also part of our deep fakes. That's also part of the worry is, could I I can only teach so many classes, right? Mm-hmm. But could I be deep faked into, like, you know, 25 more classrooms of future teachers? But, like, this is really kind of an interesting thing. Reminds me, Tim, of, you know, kind of a phrase I fall back to quite often when I'm catching myself immediately distance from technology, because I'll say, oh, you know what, this is too much, this is just gone too far. But then I remember, like, okay, this is also, you know, 2024, this is like AI is here, machine learning is real, And what are its strengths and what are its limitations? And how do we want it to be part of our lives? Because we're still in charge, right, of this. Now, you brought that up the other day. You talked about singularity theory. There's a tipping point at which we're no longer in charge. But right now, we're still in charge.
Right.
And I fall back on this reminder that technology right now develops and is implemented into daily use faster than our human capacities to figure out how we really want to use it. So it's another reminder to have these kinds of conversations. Tim, I'm glad you brought it up. When you first said, I was like, why are we talking about this? But it's also really important because, you know, it is our duty, our civic duty and our educational responsibility to step back and say, hold on, this is a clarion call. That this is not only a possibility, it's not science fiction future, it's here. How do we want to organize in a way that we are responding to this? Like, how do we want to recognize that deep fake is, I still think it kind of has son of a funny name, right?
I know, but, right?
But the deep fake is real, that machine learning and AI technology is really far advanced. Mm-hmm. It's easily accessible and it's almost real time, if not real time. And so given that, how do we slow things down as a human community to form a really clear response to how we integrate these technologies into our daily lives? Because right now they're just happening. It's like it's as easy as download the app and start tinkering around with it. Next thing you know, boom, you're creating deepfake.
Not probably, my friend. I'm a little more advanced than you. I'm not a deep fake. I am truly me, but it's not probably. It's already there.
I mean, it sounds kind of fun. I'm already thinking of the different ways, man. Can I actually can you put me at the Grammys?
It's amazing. Yeah. Like I've been wanting to go to Finland my whole life. Next thing you know, somebody's going to put me in Finland and be like, you were already there, Tim. I don't know what you're talking about. And then the next thing you know, I'm going like, wow, I went to Finland and I forgot.
Careful what you ask for, because maybe there's somebody out here who's like, I'm going to deep fake these guys. And if you do, let us know, because I mean, I'm curious, like, how good is the technology? And just, you know, remember, don't misrepresent us, but you can if you want to. I mean, you know, I've tinkered with music enough to dream about winning a Grammy. So if you can deep fake me,
put and Johnny at the Grammys,
award winning speech, or put us at the Super Bowl, right? Mm. That'd be great. But no, I mean, seriously, Tim, you're right. It's here. It's part of things, and it's absolutely part of our media literacy education that we need to be cued into. Like, how are we helping young people and people of all ages learn to digest information? And the information is coming at us really fast, right?
We say, and that's it, right? This is an information age. People like the age of information. Yes. And tell you what, here it is, hardcore in your face, the age of information. It is absolutely right there in front of you going, okay, man, deep fake. So it's a funny name. Johnny, what a week, man. Busted Pencils, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Man, we did it. And anybody who's sitting there going, I did not know, will go out and proclaim it. Let everybody know Busted Pencils is every day of the week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We are busting pencils every night of the week. Man,
let's go
check out the Civic. Yeah, and don't forget, download the Civic Media app. Go to the Civic Media website, download all of your shows, all of the podcasts from all the week, and we will check you out on Monday.
Broadcasting from atop the water tower. Well, not really, but it sounds fun. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
We've been doing this since 1997, and we know that hiring a contractor can be really stressful. And we just want you to know that from the first phone call to the final piece, we really want you to have peace of mind through the whole experience.
My experience with Crum in one sentence would be that I would do it all over again.
Crum Exteriors featuring Kangaroo. We hop to it.
715-246-6090. ChromeExteriors.com.
Even when a crop is insured through standard insurance options, it may not always be enough. A supplemental coverage option or enhanced coverage option can provide extra protection. SEO.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.